Hello, everyone. I'm sorry I'm a minute late. I was on my own coaching call right before this with my coach. Oh, y'all, let me just say, I only cried for 30 minutes. We stopped the crying early enough to where I could look like somebody before we got here. So just so you know, when y'all all come on my calls and you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for crying. Don't apologize. I cry every fucking time I get coached. We always dredge up some bullshit that I'm thinking about myself. All right, Coach Lisa, let me bring you up. She will be in the Q&A. She'll just be helping me. This is Q&A day. So you get the opportunity to ask your weight loss questions. And what are we doing this month? Somebody type into the chat right now. What is the topic of the month at No BS? Planning. Yes. So I hope everyone's making their plan that you, if you don't like the big planner, that you're trying out the bottom line planner that we gave y'all. We designed it specially for y'all this month. And let's say that you are somebody who is sitting around right now and you have not started planning this month and you're like, I suck. I thought I was going to do this. I didn't do anything. Bitch, it is the 17th, which means that today you can make a plan. You can get going. You do not, like, the one thing that we have to quit practicing in weight loss is, I didn't start, so now I'm going to wait until next month. Or I suck because I didn't get started. Never will help you. Do you know the version of you that loses all of her weight? She is sitting there right now thinking, I'm so glad that you got started on the 17th and didn't wait for a perfect day. I am so glad that you started before you thought it would work. I'm so proud of you for taking a step in that moment when you were all up your ass about why you weren't good enough. The version of you who loses all of their weight looks at you today and sees magnificence and hope and ability and all kinds of things. So if she would look back on you today and be proud of you and would think like, you know, God, it took so much bravery to just make a plan today when you haven't made one in ages. It took so much like courage for you to decide to make a plan, even though your brain was saying it wouldn't work, because look at us now. That was the day things started changing. Like, if she has that opinion of you, guess what you today has to be thinking? You today has to think like, I know it's going to be hard, but it'll be worth it. It doesn't matter if I haven't done it the first 17 days of August. The only thing that matters is I did it today. It doesn't matter if I follow it today. Only thing that matters is I get started making a plan to show myself that I can take one micro step forward towards my future versus continually taking steps back to the version that I don't even want to be. So quit running to her. All right. Let me bring up our, I have, let's see, trying to find where my notes are for today. So it is 24-hour planning day, and we are going to talk today a little bit about good, better, best. So if you don't know, I am currently in the middle of rewriting the entire first and second modules of No BS. So those will release. Let me see. Why is this not pulling up? Huh. Let's see if I can find my file. There we go. I'm in the middle of rewriting No BS modules 1 and 2. Those are going to release in October, the first week of October. So everybody in the membership will go through the new enhanced brand new versions. And I am including a lot of material on diet trauma. Past diet trauma, why we are where we're at, why it's so normal for things not to click for you, why it's so normal that, you know, a lot of times things work and then all of a sudden seems like you go back, you revert back to your old thinking and your old self for a few days, and how all of that's normal and none of it matters. The version of you who loses all of her weight hits bumps in the road. The version of you who loses all of her weight encounters times. Like, the version of you who's lost all of her weight and is in maintenance has times that she still overeats, still has triggers, still gets activated to do those things. And the only difference is once you get to maintenance, that version of you is like, yes, I need to face this head on. Yes, this is something that I'm going to choose to continue to work on, which means the version of you today is also hitting all of those things and has to have the same thoughts. I choose to face this head on. I choose to work on this until I have it solved. I choose to reach out to the coaches. I choose to do these things. All right. We had 20 people last week join the Queen's Club. So Linda Hancock said, the program tells it as it is. No excuses, just reality checks and talks that go straight through to my brain. I'm 75 next month and I feel so happy to have found no BS. So Linda, congratulations. Linda is 75 and has lost 25 pounds. If that does not show any of us that it does not matter how old you are, it matters, are you going to work on your emotional eating? It matters, are you going to make losing weight easier on yourself by paying attention to hunger, by thinking about, have I had enough, and doing those things. We also had 7 women reach maintenance last week. So they hit their goal weight and they joined the maintenance group. So congratulations to all of you. All right, let's talk a little bit about good, better, best. So when I teach y'all the good, better, best, it is all about normalizing your relationship with food. Most of us, and when we have done, you know, different diets and stuff, they have told us all the diets have said, here are the foods that you can't eat. Here are the ones that are bad for you. Here are the ones that are, you know, morally better than others. Now, this is not to say that there aren't things like superfoods and there aren't like healthier foods and stuff. But the way that it's been taught to us is that there are no-no foods and there are you being a good girl foods. And they have put a ton of morality on food. Good, better, best is about erasing a tragic mistake that the health and diet industries have made, which is attaching our morality as a human to the food we put into our mouth. You are not a better person if you eat broccoli and blueberries every day. You are not a bad person if you eat chips and dip every day. You are a human putting food in your body, period. And we really have to break that tie to morality-based thinking when it comes to food. Otherwise, think about how things work. Like if you see all foods as equal, just like there are some that, you know, like I'm not going to sit here and argue with everybody that if you were to eat salads and beans and grains and things like that, you're probably going to feel energetically better in your body. It's going to perform a little better. That doesn't make you a better person. It just means you shit regularly. You're a good dumping human. Yay you. If you eat pizza and hamburgers and stuff like that, yeah, you probably aren't going to have as much energy. You're probably going to like either have way big time colon blow or you're going to be stopped up like a toilet, but that doesn't make you a bad human being. It just means you are eating foods that your body is saying, hey, could we like throw a stalk of broccoli in just every now and then? Just to make sure that like I can shit regularly. So we really want to separate this out. And that's what good, better, best does. So it helps you figure out like, all right, if the only bad food is the one that I don't personally like the taste of, all other foods are just equal. The good foods, they just serve the purpose of entertaining me. They don't have to be healthy. They don't have to make me shit regularly. They don't have to normalize my blood sugar. They don't have to do anything. They just need to sit there and look pretty. As I tell my husband all the time, like, oh, you're such a pretty face. You just have to sit there and look pretty for me. He loves it when I tell him that. He's like, you're the only person in the world that ever says that, you know, you only married me for my pretty face. So then you have your better foods. And your better foods, their job is not only to taste good and to entertain your palate and to do those things, but your better foods, their job is to give you a little bit of a healthier edge. So this is where we talk about like leveling up in no BS. A lot of times you'll hear members say, level up, level up. That's just like taking my full blown nachos with all the shredded cheese and the pork and, you know, like I want hot fried tortilla chips. Don't give me no bullshit that's been sitting around, all the salt. I take that. And when I make them better, I use bank chips. I look at some, I might not use pork. Maybe I'm going to use ground turkey. I just make some subs, but it's still going to taste good. I'm just now thinking about like, all right, what could I do to make this just a little bit better nutritionally for myself while still letting it entertain me? Then we move on to the best foods. And the best foods don't mean that they are morally better or they make you a better human being because you're eating them. Their job is still to taste good and to entertain you and your palate. Their job is still to be healthier, but their final job is they really work well with your body. Like when you eat them, your blood sugar feels great. Your duty is like an amazing dump all the time. Like, oh, like your doo-doo looks just like old shitty, smiling away as it comes on out. I know I'm talking a lot about crap today. Don't ask me why, but here we are. So when you think about all of it, none of it is attached to who you are. So we want to make sure that what we're doing is that we are erasing all of the diet rules that we have that one food's better than the other. And the other thing that Good, Better, Best does for you is it teaches you that you have conflicting rules. This is how we know some foods are not better than other foods. So like if let's take carbs, for example, there are tons of diets out there that talk about how great carbs are. There's all kinds of research about how women need carbs. We need them as we age. They help with all kinds of things, like with women's hormones, they help balance the amounts of, we need them. Then you got all the diets out there. They're like, boo carbs. Terrible for everyone. No one should eat them. Like maybe every day, maybe every now and then you can have a sweet potato, but nothing else. Maybe just some berries because you know bananas and melon are evil. You're going to find the research you want for anything. So I always just like to think about it this way when it comes to food. The best we can do for ourselves as women who I want to lose weight and I want to do it in a way I can live the rest of my life. I want to take into account my tastes and stuff. I do want to enjoy food. I just actually really want to enjoy it. So I want to know all the things about it. What we want to do is strip away all of the rules that we have around it and stuff. And just say, like, if all things were equal starting today, what would I plan so that I'm only eating the things when I'm hungry, and then I'm setting myself up to stop it enough. Because for most of us, we're going to lose all the weight we want just doing those simple things. Water, sleep, thinking ahead about our day so that we're not having to react to our day, and then making sure that we're actually physically hungry, slightly hungry, and if we're not, question, why would we want to eat in this moment? If food's not the answer, what else could be? What is my truest need right now if I'm not physically hungry? Sometimes it's a good cry. Sometimes it's like a nap that we don't want to take because we feel guilty if we did. But like allowing yourself to wait for a little physical hunger and to start paying attention also opens the door to figure out your truest self-care needs. The ones you may be ignoring. And even if you want to keep eating through them, at least let's find out the truth of what you're really needing so that we can work on how do we get you those things? How do we get you comfortable speaking up for yourself? How do we get you at ease taking care of yourself? How do we drop mommy guilt? How do we stop people pleasing? Because when you realize you're eating around that stuff, you can do something about it. And that's why the 24-hour plan is so important, because you're not going to know the reasons why you're eating unless you actually see what you plan each day. So like the next thing that I want y'all to think about when it comes to good, better, best in your 24-hour plan is that put the foods down that you really want to be eating around, like you really want to be eating right now. And so that you are forced to start getting honest about how does this food play in my body? Is it as glorious as I think it is? So I go back to an example of when I first started losing weight. Y'all know, like I was eating ice cream and pizza. We were eating out. I was doing all the things because I was not ready to give up any kind of emotional eating. I first had to give up judging all of my eating. And when I quit judging it, when I quit judging all the foods, it opened the door for me to be able to ask what's like, all right, if I'm going to keep eating them, I at least want to know what this is doing to me and for me. And I started uncovering that some things that I was eating, I didn't even like as much as I was telling myself. That when I got really intentional and was eating it on purpose, I realized there were some foods I was just willing to give up. Wasn't as great as I thought. And when I paid attention to how it felt in my body, I was like, oh, I didn't realize I was having so much heartburn. I didn't realize it was making it so hard for me to sleep. I didn't realize it was constipating me. Like I didn't realize those things unless I really paid attention. I was just having heartburn, being winded, constipated and stuff, and like dealing with it. It had become my normal. And until I paid attention, I didn't realize, oh, wow, this is what's happening when I'm eating some of this stuff. So do I need to eat a little less? Do I need to change things up? Like, what could I do? I was always putting myself in the position of trying to figure out at any moment, what could I do? Because at the end of the day, y'all, when I was losing weight, especially in the beginning, I just wanted to feel fucking better. I was depressed. I was so out of shape, couldn't keep up with Logan. I had heartburn, shit ached on me. Like I couldn't even keep up with, if we went to the mall, that was back in the day when people went to the mall all the time. You know, you got to think about this, it was like 15 years ago. I couldn't keep up with Chris. And all I want to do is feel better. And so it really helped me start thinking about, okay, if I really want to feel better, what are some micro changes I can start making? And good, better, best helped me because I decided I was no longer going to villainize food. I really liked a lot of things. And so I wanted to keep them in play until I figured out what was going on emotionally for me, until I was ready to level things up, until I was ready to make changes. So it's important for all of you, when we talk about the good, better, best lesson, that you realize it's more than just like giving, here's what's not happening. I am never telling you that you could eat whatever you want, whenever you want. That is the biggest misconception y'all hear from me. I am not telling you that at all. What I'm telling you is that all food is equal. You can plan to eat whatever you want. I want you to start now learning, is this what I actually truly want? So in the beginning, yes, you are probably putting a lot of foods on there. Then as you are going through no BS, as you are waiting for hunger and you are stopping at enough, you start uncovering what your truest wants are that you're not giving yourself, like naps or letting the dishes go one night, having honest conversations with people. Realizing like for me, my truest want was to build a business, not to be a 24/7 dedicated mommy. I am a mother, but I really, you know what I honestly wanted? I really wanted to be someone that I really wanted to have the relationship with Logan that was going to work for me. My biggest want wasn't to be like other mothers. My biggest want was to be okay with the mother that I was while building a business. And until like all of this, I would never know those things. And so I say that because things that you're telling yourself you really want right now when it comes to food, it might not be true. It may be, I'm keeping these foods right now because I don't know my truest wants. I've not been listening for a long time. I'm not even asking the questions. So to wrap this up a little bit, I want you to use good, better, best to level the playing field of the food. To plan the foods right now that you really like. And then get really good about honoring eating them when you're hungry and stopping at enough. Even if you decide to keep eating afterward, just ask yourself, like in this moment, if food is not going to be the solution, what is? Just so you know. Then we can get to work later on doing it. You can keep eating if you want to, but you at least owe it to yourself to know your truest wants, your truest desires. The last thing I want to say on this is when it comes to good, better, best, is that as you do it, it is okay to have personal rules around your food. I just want you to like your rules. So this is important too, because like, it's just like the other question. When I say, you know, all foods equal and you can eat whatever you want. Y'all hear it as I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want. I'm confused why I'm not losing weight. It's like, no, you can eat whatever you want, but you do have to plan it. And you have to wait until you're hungry. And you got to stop it enough. And when we do that, we will lose weight. The other thing that y'all hear very often is, I shouldn't have any rules. We all are going to set up personal guidelines, rules, boundaries, whatever you want to call it. I have my own. Like if we bring nuts into the house, I have a personal rule. We portion them because I know me. After a stressful day, when I'm really tired, when I'm munchy, I never want to eat a portion of nuts, ever. You know what I want to do? I want to pop open the can because that's the easiest way to get to it. Sit on the couch, watch TV, and eat nuts, and then wake up 10 minutes later feeling like I got rot gut going on because now I've got like so many nuts in my belly. And so this has nothing to do, like I never tell myself, it's because you can't control yourself. It's like, no, I know myself. I know myself so well, I'm willing to set her up for success on the days that she doesn't want to do anything other than have things be easy for herself. So I create a lot of little rules around foods that help me. And it is from the mindset of, like, I decided a long time ago, I wanted to be someone who is not afraid of food anymore. The best way to not be afraid of food for me was to be like, all right, how do I make myself successful as fucking possible? What are things that I can do that feel like this is love? This is watching out for myself. This is being there for the tired ass version of you that's like, fuck weight loss, fuck maintenance. Let's just eat nuts like a boss on the couch. I have a version of me. It's another reason why we don't drink at home. I know me. I tell Chris all the time, number one, when I really thought about drinking at home, I didn't like it as much. Like we would just drink and watch TV and never talk. For me, like drinking with Chris is about connection. We like going to the bar to do it because when we're at the bar, we talk to each other. When we're at home, every time we've ever tried to have drinks at home, we are not connecting. We're just both sitting there drinking. Half the time Logan's coming in, doesn't feel like date night. Half the time we're watching TV. Like, I like getting out of my element. So I have a personal rule. I don't drink at home. It's not, I realized it's not near as fun as I thought. So I make it special. So my rule is we drink when we go out in order to make it special. And so that's the thing about your rules around food. Look for the rules that feel gross, that give you anxiety, that tense you up, that feel very restrictive, those are not the rules we want. We want rules or boundaries or guidelines, whatever word feels good to you. We want you to think about, like, all right, now that I've evaluated the relationship that I want with myself and the relationship that I want with food and stuff, what are things that I can do that help me feel successful, that take care of the version of me that might not be super interested in our long-term goals? The version of you at 9 o'clock at night after wiping babies' asses all day and going to work and doing 1,000 different chores for everybody, she is not going to think about your future. She can give a fuck. You know what she's thinking about? How do I relax in this moment? Set her up for success. Ask yourself at 8 o'clock in the morning, what is she most needing at night? And how are we going to start getting that if food is not going to be that option anymore? And for me, until I figured out how I was going to give myself what I needed at night, I had to allow food to be there for a while. So if food was going to be there, I had to figure out how I was going to do food in a way that would also help me lose weight until I was ready to let it go. That's why I made small changes, like in quantity and in quality. And that's what all of you can do for yourselves. All right, let's answer some questions. How do you stop yourself from being so influenced by stress? Why do I let myself always come last and then eat a shit ton of crap to feel better? Well, first of all, you haven't figured out what is stressing you. So this is what a lot of you say. This is what stresses me. My bitch ass mother, my bitch ass boss, my bitch ass kids, my bitch ass job. Those are things in your life. Stress is a feeling always caused by your thought about those things. So one of the first things that you need to do before you change anything is you have to figure out where am I stressing myself out? So an easy way for a lot of you to access this is, first of all, just unfiltered, without having to do it right, what are things you think are stressing you? You will likely come up with a list of things. Then you're going to take one thing the next day. You're just like, all right, this thing that I think is stressing me out, it's really because when this thing is happening or when I think about this thing, here's my opinions and perceptions of it. I think I can't control myself. I think that they're better than me. I think that if I say no, they'll be mad. That's the stressful part. And so before you can quit being influenced by stress, before you can quit putting yourself last, because putting yourself last is just what you do because you feel stressed due to the things that you're thinking about things in life. So before you can change how you react, because it's easy to just say, like, well, I'm just going to start telling them no, except when you tell them no, you're going to sit and think bullshit about yourself. Like, you're so mean. They're going to be so mad. You will now create a whole nother think, feel, do cycle of anxiety, worry. Like, you'll be looking around for the first sign that they're pissed. That's what most people do. I know I don't want to people please. So I'm just going to start telling people no while still thinking they're going to hate me. Then I just tell them no. And the whole time I'm sitting there now thinking, like, I wonder what they're thinking. And the problem is you've never changed any of your thoughts. So you've just gone from putting yourself last from stress to worry, anxiety, and fear. Which one do you think is going to win out? You just now telling people no and then being on high alert for danger? Or, well, I'll just be stressed. It's easier to be stressed than it is to be afraid of other people and repercussions. That is why we choose stress, because we only give ourselves two options. So before we change how we show up, we have to change how we think fundamentally. Because once you change how you think fundamentally, it is way easier to change how you show up in the world for yourself. So think about this. When I'm stressed, here's all the things I blame my stress on. That's the easiest way to do it. Here's all the things I blame my stress on right now. Y'all, this top is so going into the Goodwill after this because it shows my bra all the time. Goodwill top now. Then pick one of those. We're not working on all the things. We're just going to work on one. I suggest the easiest one. What are my thoughts about this? So if I'm feeling this about this, it's because I have thoughts in the way. Everything's always about a thought. You list all of that. Then you pick one of those thoughts and you go to the four ends. I notice I'm thinking. End number one is notice. Why would it be normal for me to be like this? Why is it normal that I think these things about this? It could be because I've never thought anything different. Like if you just think about it, why does it make sense that I would even be having this thought to begin with? Then you go to the third end, neutralize. What's actually happening though? So I have my thoughts, and then here's the facts. If I had to take all of the adjectives, the adverbs, the opinions, the perceptions, what's really happening? We just want to get to a very neutral story. It should not feel exciting, upsetting, or anything. It's like when I just read these words, and if anybody else read these words on paper, it would just be like, okay. Like nobody would say, like, I can see why you're upset. No one should ever say that. Oh yeah, that would be really stressful. You want to neutralize it down to where no one would make an assumption as to how you feel at all. They would want to be like, well, how do you feel about that? Because it could be open to interpretation. It could be you feel great. You feel stressed. It could be a lot of things. That's how you know you've got to neutral. That if you or somebody else read it on paper, you'd have to ask the question, well, what are you thinking about that? Because your thinking has now been removed from the neutral line. And the reason we do that is so that you can see there's what's happening. There is this thing. And then there is my story. Now, it doesn't mean you have to change your story, but at least you realize that's why I feel the way I do. And it's very normal that I would think that. But if I want to feel differently, or if I want to show up differently for myself, I'm going to need to start telling this in a way that's empowering versus disempowering for me. So that's where the last N comes in. The next best thought or action. Not the ideal thought and action, not the perfect thought and action, not the happiest thought and action, but what is my next best option here for my thinking? Sometimes it's like, it is not as bad as you think it is. Sometimes it's like, just even saying, the only thing that's happening is what's in the neutral line. And just reminding yourself of that until you get to where now you don't put so much of your story behind everything. That opens the door to be able to create new ones. And when we create new stories, guess what we do? We feel better. And we treat ourselves better when we tell better stories about things for ourselves. All right. I've been seeing an additional trauma response to fight, flight, and freeze. It's fawn, which has something to do with people pleasing. Has this come up in your set-in? Yeah. I'm actually getting ready to take a course. I'm getting a certification. It doesn't start until October because I really want to study a lot of this stuff. So. But yes, fawning is another way. There's actually lots of different, I think there's even more than that. But yeah, that's definitely one of them. So people pleasing can be a part of like trying to avoid activated trauma in you. I do that some So I was just getting coached on that in my last call about just like I had something happen recently with a family member where my dad, where my old people pleasing tendencies tend to come out. And it's because like I get so worried about losing him because like I was abandoned by him as a child and all this other stuff that I tend to accommodate their needs and not from a place of love for them, but from fear of losing out. How do I work out my true desire? What my true desire is? I think I've kept it so deep for so long, I can't find it. You just keep writing about it, Vicky. It's not that it's gone or too deep. Like a lot of times we like to think it's like so deep in there. It needs time to come back out. We get, if you stop thinking about your dreams, if you stop thinking about your truest desires and stuff, you basically, it's like if you quit working out, you've lost the muscle to do it. It doesn't mean that it's gone or deep or hard. It just means you have to each day let yourself ask those questions. What most of us do is we tell ourselves it's so deep. It's been so long. I don't even know if I can do it. That when the time comes to be asking yourself, like in the moment when you want to eat and you're not hungry, or in the moment when you want to stop it enough, or when you want to do it, you're like, eh, like we don't practice it. So one of the best ways to do it is just every morning in your journaling, just ask yourself a question. Like, if I could do anything I want in my life, what would I be doing? If I could wave a magic wand and could do anything I really wanted, what would it be? Just asking that question over and over again for about a couple of weeks. What you'll see usually when somebody is very disconnected from the dreaming, creative side of them is that the first like week, you'll just keep like, it will feel like you're just writing things. And sometimes you might even write the same things each day. But as you do it, your brain starts coming online. It's like, well, she's going to do this every day. It tries to get creative with it. It starts dropping its defenses. And then another trick to it is a lot of times when we want to dream and we want to think about the things we want, we pretty much put up a wall between us and our dreams. And the wall is called, but that could never happen. The wall is, that's not possible for you. And so you shut yourself off from even thinking about it to begin with. So we want to override that and just say like, it does not matter if it's possible. It doesn't matter if this could ever happen. If I want to write, I want to win the lottery and I want to win $1 billion. That's what I'm going to write. We just want to tell our brain, we're not trying to get this. We're not saying that this is absolutely going to happen. We're not saying any of that. All we're doing right now is allowing ourselves to see what our truest needs and desires are, what our dreams and wishes are. Because I just want to know what they are. Maybe some of them I might not ever have, but I'd like to know what I want. So maybe that I can even come up with a version of it that would feel pretty fucking good. Just like with me and weight loss. I really wanted to lose all my weight. But you know what my truest, deepest desire is? A perfect body. I ain't got no shame in saying it. I'd give anything. Well, I wouldn't give anything. But if I could wave a magic wand, Corinne would have zero loose skin and zero scars. She'd be muscular as fuck. She would look the exact way she works out. Hardcore. I like to remind myself of that. If I could wave that magic wand, that's what I would have. But I know that's not a possibility. But what is possible? I can work out hard every day. There are improvements I can make. There are things that I can do. I may not get there, but what I don't want to do is be someone who says, well, because I can't get there, I give every potential thing up along the way. Like for me, I'm dressed like a boss. Like, I might not have that perfect body, but boy, I can make the most out of this one. And so it's like allowing yourself to think those things. The worst that will happen is the moment when you say, I can't have that, and you feel bad. If that's the worst that's going to happen, I say y'all start dreaming, because what you don't want to do is shut off all your dreams and desires, because you might have one or two that you can't have. And then you deny yourself 10 or 20 that are totally available to you. Is it okay to have a good food planned every day? Yes. There's no rules inside No BS where I have said, like, all right, now here's your limit. You're allowed to plan good food as much as you want. I just want you to make sure that it is absolutely what you want and to understand why you want it. So here's the rest of her thing. I am super scared of having them, but I've noticed that when I restrict a lot and eat super clean, I tend to binge. So that's good to know. She's like, I don't know if I have it in me to be a clean eater. Here's what I'm hearing. You don't want to be a clean eater. You're only being a clean eater because you're afraid that if you don't, that you'll be a binger. And here's what I want you to see. You set yourself up for a no-win situation. I'm either binging or I'm eating in a way I hate. I don't have it in me. I can only go so long. And right now, it's not working. Like, I'm so afraid to have these foods that I really want that I sit in fear and willpower until I'm binging my face off. So you're in the lose-lose. We need to give you the third option where you can win, which is, I want to build a relationship with the foods I really love so that I never have to feel like I ever have to binge on them again because I restrict myself. So that means that I'm going to eat some of these things and be scared as fuck when I'm eating them. You're like, this is the thing, Ale, you are already scared. Like, I'm really scared to have these foods, but I'm also really scared I can't be a clean eater, and I'm really scared of binging, and I'm really scared of this. Like, you're already living in fear. The problem that most of you that, like, when if you resonate with this, is that you don't recognize you're already afraid. You're just afraid in a way that's not helping you now. So I would rather you, like, let's say donuts is your thing. I would rather see you eat a donut, scared as fuck you're going to binge every day, until your body starts saying, like, oh, she's not going to restrict anymore these foods. Oh, we don't have to have a trauma response anymore. Oh, I don't have to binge anymore. Like, I don't have to send up binging anymore to get her to eat things she likes. She's now just planning for them. Your brain right now is like, all right, we would really like to eat some of these foods. And since you sit around in fear all the time and you won't let us have them, I only know one way to get you there: a binging. So I'm going to send that up. When you have stressed me out so much around your fear of food, I'm going to help you get relief. And we're going to get relief with binging. And you're going to be able to get the foods that you really want, because all I notice is you're fucking miserable not eating them. So we want to untrain that connection that we've made. And luckily for y'all, inside the brand new module one of No BS that's coming out in October, I talk a lot about these trauma responses that we're having. It's not binge specific, but it's definitely for all of the binge eaters and people who feel addicted or afraid of sugar and all this stuff. I really think that these first lessons in No BS are going to, when you go back through them in October, are going to be really helpful for you to be like, wow, this is what's happening. All right. Let's see. I already answered that one. Where do I start with journaling? I have a lot of thoughts inside my head I need to work through, but when I sit down to journal, it's hard to capture one and write about it. So I would just, whatever it is that you think you're going to, like, I have a lot of thoughts inside my head I need to work through. What's the topic? Whatever the topic is it about your body? Is it about like yourself, maybe your self-esteem, things like that? If you go to our planner, there are journaling questions in there. That's where I would start. So if you look at our journaling planner, we've got pages and pages of questions on different topics like self-love, overeating, just all kinds of things in there. I would go to those and I would do them. Also, I would do every worksheet in every program that we do. Like anytime, if you're listening to a program, what I watch a lot of y'all do, not calling anybody out, but we got a lot of active listeners in the NoBS and not a lot of active doers in the NoBS. So I will just tell you, stop listening to every fucking word I say if you are not doing our worksheets. Start doing some worksheets. I do not design them because I just love coming up with clever questions and graphic design. That is not why I give them to you. I give them to you to unlock things. It's easy to listen. It's fun to listen. It's enlightening to listen. But if you actually want to change your life, you got to do some stuff, which means you're going to need to do some worksheets. Now, do not hear this and think the only way to lose weight is to do all the worksheets. No, but when you notice you have a problem, let's work on the problem. If you are overeating, you need to do your discovery worksheets. You need to take them to ask coaches. You need to be working through this stuff. Don't just sit there and be not a passerby. What is the person, like somebody who's just watching shit? Don't just sit and be a bystander to your shit. And I'm watching a lot of you do this. It's like, here I am. Yeah, I'm lurking. I'm a voyeur. I'm a bystander. I'm just like watching me overeat. I'm just watching me not plan. I'm just watching me do this stuff. Like, what do I do? You do. A lot of y'all, the problem with when I say do these things, you associate doing with perfect. It's like, but if I do it, I'm going to have to, like, if I start doing a plan, I got to do it every day. I got to follow it. I got to do all these things. So I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to keep listening to Corinne. No, you got to make a plan. Sometimes you got to fuck it up. Some days you're going to follow it. Some days you're not. The only way you're going to learn what to work on next is to get in there and do some shit that shows you what to work on next. So when we put, like, if you're doing the 24-hour planning stuff this month, don't just listen to all the content. The content's great. It'll help you with a few things, but the people who consistently lose weight, they don't listen to everything. They don't come to every call. They're not listening like it's their job. They're pulling out a few things and they're doing something with it. I was talking to someone the other day in Facebook who's like losing weight. And she was like saying, yeah, I don't do everything. She's like, I make sure to do my plan. That's really helpful. She's like, I listen to the courses and she does the workbooks. And she's like, but I rarely ever listen to your Q&As and your live coachings. She's like, every now and then I'll have time. I do that. I just focus on like picking some things that help me right now. I'm like, that is exactly what we want to do. So I want you to be a doer, not just a listener inside NoBS. I've been trying to allow myself cookies so I stop thinking they have power over me, but every time I buy them, I eat the whole bag. Hell, Jane, don't buy a whole bag. Here's the easiest thing to do. Go to the deli, buy one, bring it home, get good at eating that, and practice eating that to just show yourself. Like, it's going to be a lot. So there's this thing about being in motion. It is easier to to do something once you get into motion. It's also harder to stop something once it's in motion. So for you, it's like, if I was like having a hard time, like every time I brought cookies into the house, whatever, there's a few things you could do. When you first, if you're going to buy a package of cookies, I don't care if you take the Ziplocs and you stand at the grocery store after you've checked out and you portion them, son of a bitches, you do it. Or you buy a bag at the store and you open the bag, put two in a Ziploc, and you throw the rest of the bag away. I don't care what you got to do. You buy one from the deli, but you do it from the thought of, it's not because I can't control myself. It's because I'm taking authority over cookies right now. So I'm going to do these new things. And I want you to applaud yourself. You tried it this way. You notice that it still activates you to want to eat all of them. Another thing that you could do is just say, like, all right, I notice I always eat the whole bag. And I don't know if you're eating them in one sitting, if you're eating them over the course of a week, you didn't really say in there. Let's say you buy the bag, you come home and you're a Hoover. You're like, every Oreo's gone when I buy them in like one day, one sitting. Then you make a goal to be like, I'm going to buy cookies. And instead of eating the whole bag in one sitting, I'm going to pull three out, dump ketchup on them, put them in the trash can, and teach myself that now I only eat the whole bag minus three. Guess what? You just took control over food. A lot of y'all just need to realize, like, you can take control over any point that you want. And it's all about thinking, like, not sitting there and like, yeah, but I shouldn't have to do that. Why shouldn't you? The version of you that one day can buy like a whole bag of Oreos and eat two on the first day, she's not sitting there going like, yeah, well, you should have never had to start this way. You know what she's doing? Enjoying fucking two cookies and glad you figured it out. So if that version of you would not jump on this version of you, then you today don't jump on you when you are doing things in a way that's going to set you up for one day to be able to succeed. I have been here 3 years. I am no longer afraid of food or alcohol, but I am losing very slowly. My habit tracker shows me at 90 to 97%. I do all the things. I'm feeling like I should be at goal weight by now. Help. Terry, you haven't, like, how much more weight do you have to lose? Can you type it in there? How much have you lost? Like, and this is the thing. I don't care if you've been here 3 years. Don't describe it as I've been losing weight slowly. That never helps. Just decide, here are all the things that I have overcome right now. So if I want to lose weight at a little faster rate, what's the next thing I can be doing? It's never helpful for y'all to sit around and think about how long it's taken. The version of you that finally loses her weight does not sit around and be like, yeah, well, it took me too long. I hate this. I sure wish it had went faster. She's too busy enjoying it. She's too busy sitting around thinking, I'm glad I got my shit together. I love being here right now, which means the version of you, like, think about this. The version of you who loses all their weight is sitting around like, I love that I'm here now. That means you today can't hate where you're at. That doesn't help you get to loving where you're at. Hating where you're at now does not equal loving where you're at in the future. It means being focused on this is slow and you hose yourself. So if the version of you loves where they're at today, then there's a version of you that has to know where you're at today and appreciate what you can do differently today. It's very different than hating where you're at and thinking it's taking too long. That's grimy. That's residue. That's bleh. What we want to do is we want to be like, but this is where I'm at today. We don't hate on it. We think about how we can maximize today. Because I guarantee every one of you, the version of you that loses her weight, what's she doing? Balls out maximizing her life. She's over there doing all those things that you wish you could do. She's maximizing. So that means you today has to maximize what you can do for yourself today. It's really important y'all make these connections and that you quit shitting all over yourself and wondering, why is it so hard to lose weight when every single day, all I do is allow myself to focus on what's wrong, what's taking so long, what I don't like, what's broken, how I should be making better progress. This is going to be hard for me. When you stay in that energy, yeah, weight loss is a grind. It's real easy to quit. This is not to say that your brain isn't going to like think all these things. My question to you is that all you're going to let yourself think about? I don't give a damn how loud, shitty, shrillish your voice is. You know what I care about? Are you going to let that be the only thing you think about? Are you just going to let that stop you? Or are you going to be in the business of redirecting your mind? Are you going to be in the business of challenging yourself to live a different life because you choose to think about your life differently? That's what I am concerned about. All right. One last question. This is Terry. I started at 185. The goal is 150, learning how to trust food and quit diet mentality. She was doing no sugar, no flour. I've lost 20 of the 20. She's sitting at 190 right now. So she had gained 25 pounds. She was at 185. I'm learning how to trust food again and quit diet mentality. She was doing no sugar, no flour. When she quit doing no sugar, no flour, she gained 25 and now she's down 20. So you're sitting around like, it's so slow. It's all these other things. It's just like, here's where I'm at today. I'm down 20 pounds. I'm at 190. The goal is 150. 40 to go. And I have done so much work on my relationship with food. I am set and ready to go for it. What am I going to be doing today? Like when you keep like thinking about all this energy around all like, this is blah, this is this, it's so slow and everything. That is emotional bandwidth. Like you're basically draining your stores and then said, and now I need to figure out how to lose my next 40 pounds. I'm going to try to lose this last 40 pounds from the energy of exhaustion from thinking about how long it's taking me. Instead of, I'm going to lose the next 40 pounds because I've set myself up perfectly. I've done the work for 3 years. I'm more ready than I ever have been. I've overcome a lot of stuff. Now's my time. What can I do today? Be a lot easier to get into motion and to enjoy the process thinking that way. All right, everyone, that's it for today. So I want to let, you're welcome, Terry. You're very welcome, Terry. Especially, you've been here 3 years. Oh my God. If there's anybody who's like set themselves up for success, if there's anyone who shows they're committed and dedicated and willing to go for it, it would be someone who says, I've been here 3 years. I've been doing the things. I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling it. There's something in me saying, now's my time. I will not be here this Sunday. So if you know, most of my summer, I've been taking vacations, but working every Sunday, coming here and doing the calls and stuff like that from Las Vegas. Well, we're flying home on Sunday because I have a full week next week. So I will miss our calls on Sunday, but you are getting the fabulous Coach Kathy, who y'all don't get to see anymore because Kathy is now, she is head of project management for all of NoBS, which is a big fucking business now. We have the business side of things. If you don't know, I launched a business membership. There's the NoBS Business Women's Membership. We have 173 proud members. I just want to say, it reminds me of my old PNP tribe days when we were little and we were doing the things. So if you are an online coach or you're an online business person who wants online strategies and you're a woman who's ready to grow and scale, you can go over to it, NoBSBusinessWomen.com. And I think you'll be able to see all of that. So she is project managing not only for that new business, but for NoBS Weight Loss, which is one of the best programs right now in the world. We are, I think, I'm going to let y'all know this, but I don't think I'm supposed to publicly announce until August 19th, but we were ranked number 1,052 in the Inc. 5,000. So I'm super excited. This is a very proud moment for me. Not many women get on this list. If you ever look at the top 5,000 companies and stuff, you just don't see a ton of business owners and founders and CEOs that are straight up just women. So, and my team is almost all women except for Chris and Logan and my brother. So the other 22 of us are all women. So I'm just super proud of it. And, but Kathy does our project management. If y'all are wondering, you know, what Kathy's up to. So she's going to put her coaching hat on Sunday and give y'all a little Kathy love, since y'all write in very often wondering if she can do some coaching. So she will do the Sunday call at 11, and then Coach Christy is going to do the maintenance call. And Coach Christy basically is like getting me. She's as bold, brass, and sassy as I am. So you are in excellent hands. All right. I will see y'all next Wednesday, or if I don't see you around in the Facebook group. Y'all enjoy our coaches, and I will see you then. Bye, y'all.